This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
You're listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm your host, Patricia Elsie Tuttle, and okay, ladies, now let's add to your backlist. This is episode number 261 and a half, and today I'm going to talk about a couple backlist titles that I'm excited to share with you. Hi, everyone. How's it going? I have been on a sugar high for about 48 hours now. We live near a lot of agricultural land where there are a ton of farms where you can go and pick your own cherries or strawberries or many other things. And many of the farms also have a stand up front where you can buy pre-picked stuff. So last weekend, my wife and I drove out there and bought an absurd amount of produce. So far in the past 48 hours, I've made chocolate-covered strawberries, lemon ricotta pancakes covered in strawberries, a quart and a half of strawberry gelato, and a boysenberry galette that's a little wonky, but it was my first galette, so I'll allow it. I also bought vegetables that I roasted last night and 2 pounds of blueberries and 2 pounds of cherries. Not to mention all the stone fruit I bought. And now that I'm saying this out loud, I may have bought too much fruit. Oh well, I'll just be having a fruit bat diet for the next week or so. Of course, between all the baking, I've been reading. Before I get to my backlist book picks, let's hear from today's sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Entangled Publishing's Red Tower Books, publisher of the smash hit Fourth Wing. You'll only cross these blades once in a page-turning new tale of revenge, strategy, and so many lies. Best-selling Red Tower Books is releasing its next irresistible read that will capture your imagination and keep you guessing until the end. Mae Corlin's Five Broken Blades tells an intricate, high-stakes tale of five total strangers united in a plot that will test their strength, wits, and courage. Each has their reasons, all have secrets. But while it's easy to betray a stranger, it's not so simple to stab a friend or a lover, okay, in the back. Now these five blades must choose between vengeance and one another. Pick up Five Broken Blades by Mae Corlin for a thrilling, adventurous tale filled with risk, romance, adventure, and oh, so many lies. The relationships in it are complex and nuanced and involve everything from friends to enemies, found and biological family and lovers and more. Thanks again to Entangled Publishing's Red Tower Books, publishers of the smash hit Fourth Wing, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Charming, easygoing, and rich, Xavier Castillo has the world at his fingertips. He also has no interest in taking over his family's empire, but that hasn't stopped women from throwing themselves at him. Unless, of course, the woman in question is his publicist. The cool, the intelligent, the ambitious Sloane Kensington, who is a high-powered publicist who's used to dealing with difficult clients, but none infuriate or tempt her more than a certain billionaire heir with his stupid dimples and laid-back attitude. She may be forced to work with him, but she'll never fall for him because he's a client and that's all he'll ever be. Right? Right, girl, like we all know. So just in case you didn't know, author Anna Wong is the best-selling author and book talk viral author of the Twisted Love series, the King of Sin series. Miss Wong got it going on, okay? Make sure to check out King of Sloth by Anna Wong, and thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode.
For my first pick, I have Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me by Mariko Tamaki and Rosemary Valero O'Connell. This is a graphic novel. I think it's categorized as young adult, but I, an adult, enjoy it very much, so your mileage may vary. Content warnings for talk about statutory rape and abortion. Our protagonist is Freddie, short for Frederica, a 16-year-old lesbian in Berkeley, California. Freddie is biracial, Asian, and white. The story begins at her high school's 80s-themed Valentine's Day dance, and some of the text overlay of this opening scene is a letter that Freddie is writing to an advice columnist asking for relationship advice. So the whole book, we get some real-time action and dialogue, as well as some peeks at the letters slash emails that Freddie is writing to the advice columnist. As the title suggests, Freddie is on and off dating a girl named Laura Dean. Laura Dean is super popular, and it's a very stark juxtaposition to Freddie's small, intimate friend circle. So Laura shows up to the 80s dance late and then hangs out with Freddie for a very short time before one of Laura's many friends shouts at her across the gym, and Laura's like, be right back, and she just leaves Freddie just standing there. After a while, Freddie goes looking for her and spots Laura making out with some other girl in an empty classroom. Clearly, Freddie is distraught, and she is not a drinker, but somehow has some schnapps on her, and she definitely gets drunk on some schnapps on the high school steps. Her best friend, whose name is Doodle, brings her to a late-night donut shop, and wasted Freddie totally pukes all over the counter. We learn, again, as the title suggests, that this is the third time that Laura Dean has broken up with Freddie. Laura is constantly gaslighting Freddie and being really manipulative and an overall crap person. And she keeps breaking up with Freddie just over weird reasons or cheating on her, or it's just a really crappy way to be. So for the most of the book, Freddie also exhibits some really unhealthy behavior, much of which seems to be connected to low self-esteem. Constantly waiting for Laura to text her, jumping at Laura's every beck and call, and Freddie's friends see all this really unhealthy behavior, but like, what can they really do about this? And Freddie's going to make all these bad decisions regardless of what her friends say. To top all of this off, because of Freddie's obsession with Laura, it's making her be a really awful friend, especially to her best friend, Doodle. This was a really good book. I actually read it multiple times. I think that the themes are ones that a lot of people can relate to, if not directly, then at least tangentially, by maybe having a friend who got so consumed by a romantic relationship that they let their friendships wither. So this is, again, it's a romantic relationship book. It's a friendship book. It's really, really good. I really enjoyed it. This was Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me by Mariko Tamaki and Rosemary Valero O'Connell. For my second book, I chose The Secret Loves of Geek Girls, edited by Hope Nicholson, with a foreword by Kelly Sue DeConnick. This anthology, some stories are prose, some stories are comics, is not what I expected it to be. And by reading the foreword, I learned that it is also not what Kelly Sue DeConnick expected it to be. Instead of a collection of stories about niche things that geek girls love, it's a collection of creative, generally nonfiction personal stories by geek girls about romance and relationships with other people. There is a wide range of stories in this anthology. There are some really lovely ones about figuring out what labels apply to the writer's sexualities and relationship styles, about learning words like demisexual and aromantic, about learning that they're not really interested in men at all, or about still figuring things out and changing and growing and evolving even as they write the stories that are in this book. One of the things I really appreciated was that more than a couple stories were about not having sex until the storytellers were well into their 20s, and I think this is a really good thing that should be normalized for people, because for people who are in their 20s who haven't been intimate yet, they could feel really like out of place, like they're running behind, or, you know, they're a late bloomer, like there's some kind of on time to bloom. I don't know. But I really like that these stories normalize that. And the thing about geek girls is that we know how to be super, incredibly, fantastically passionate about the fandoms we love. And there's more than one story about how this can translate to the ability to be deeply, intensely passionate about crushes and partners. There are also some stories about how common geeky interests can lead to lasting relationships, as well as stories on the other side about how common geeky interests aren't enough always to keep a relationship together. Many of these stories are from times before geek girls had as much visibility as we do now. when we were more like unicorns, but also sometimes seen as the weirdos. Because of both these kinds of views, many of the stories are also about how hard it can be to date as a geek girl. And some of the stories are also about the deliberate decision not to date or form romantic relationships. Not all of the stories are personal. There are a few that are more like essays on things like the draw of gothic romances or building a dating profile. There's also a wide range of queer and gender nonconforming representation, which I also appreciate. The contributor list includes Margaret Atwood, who draws a comic, Mariko Tamaki, who wrote the book I just talked about, Marjorie Liu, Jen Bartel, Teeny Howard, Gita Jackson, Sam Maggs, and many more. There's absolutely a ton of contributors to this book. I really enjoyed this read. It's The Secret Loves of Geek Girls, edited by Hope Nicholson, with a foreword by Kelly Sue DeConnick. And that's it for me this week, book lovers. Thank you so much to our sponsor. You can find a list of the books I mentioned today in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/allthebooks. If you're a fan of All the Books and All the Backlist and you want to show us some love, you can leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other book lovers find us. If you want to talk about books or nerdy stuff or check in on my shenanigans, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Infophile, as in the lover of information spelled T-H-E-I-N-F-O-P-H-I-L-E. In the meantime, have a safe weekend, drink some water, and happy reading!